We're going to open up to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And I know there are still some sort of outstanding topics and questions on creation that we'll need to get to, but we're going to keep going through the narrative at this point, and we'll pick those up at another occasion. Genesis 2. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks and praise to you for your creation of us and for the way in which your creation was completed and finished, that we can rest in what you have done. We ask that you would bless now this study of your word, that we may be strengthened to live as your people. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, before we pick up Genesis 2, just a real brief offer. Are there any burning questions that anyone needs to ask, unrelated to Genesis 1 and 2, but you've got me now? So, going once, going twice, gone. Let's go to Genesis 2. And we're going to start at verse 1. We'll read. We're going to start with just verses 1 to 3 to start with, and then we can dive into more of it later. But Genesis 2, verses 1 to 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. This is the word of the Lord. So I want to focus in on the seventh day for a little bit today. And we may get beyond this, but we'll start here. Why did God finish his work in 6 days and rest on the seventh? Why did he finish in 6 days and rest on, or maybe the question is not why did he finish, but why did he rest on the, oh, you can give Brian a hard time too, Bunny. So, why did he rest on the seventh?
I think that's an example for us that we need to rest on one day.
Okay, there's certainly an example, not only an example, but there's something stronger than an example.
And we also need to thank and credit for the creation that he created on that.
Okay.
We need to give homage to him.
Yeah, so God sets aside the seventh day. Why does he rest? He does not rest for himself. It is not that God said, you know what? I am so weary. I just need a day. Give me a day, guys. It's not for that reason. The rest on the Sabbath day is not for God's sake, but really for ours. And Rose, you said it's an example. I'd say it's an example and more, because he actually is explicit about what he wants for his people. The other thing we ought to say about it is that his resting on the seventh day is also a sign that everything he has made is finished and complete. There's nothing lacking. There's nothing undone. I think I said this before, but it's striking me a little bit more now. In history with my children, we're reading ancient history, and so I'm reading Greek myths to them. And by golly, if those Greek myths aren't, we haven't even gotten to man or earth yet, but if those aren't violent, and everything that happens is almost a sort of accident. Someone gets castrated, and that turns into something over there, and something over, you know. Yeah, I mean, it does make you sit up a little bit. I am editing some of it as we go, because it's, you know. But it is very different than the Genesis 1 creation. God created everything, and it was good, perfect, complete, and finished. And so he rested. And when we say he rested, we ought to be clear about what he's resting from. What has God ceased doing on the seventh day?
Creating.
He's not creating something more. But he has not stopped caring about his creation. So he's not the sort of creator who makes something and then turns around and walks away and leaves it behind. He's done adding to it. He's done adding more layers to it. But he's not stopped caring about his creation. And I say that because if God, for an instant, took his mind or focus, or those are human attributes. But if he stopped regarding his creation and paying attention to it, what would happen?
We would disappear.
Yeah, there'd be no creation left.
Nothing.
Right? So it's not that God said, it's done and I'm going to go off over here. He's done creating and adding to it, but he is still concerned about and attentive to his creation. And it's worth recognizing that there may be people who believe that God created everything. They may have some different beliefs about kind of how, but they may believe that God created everything, but not have a belief that God is involved in his creation still. So I think here about Thomas Jefferson and what were called the deists in the early years of our American experiment, who believed that there was a sort of divine watchmaker. I think they had the reputation for Swiss watches back then, right? You make a Swiss watch, and what? It runs forever. The watchmaker can just leave it alone, and they had this view of the universe. God had made it like a Swiss watch, and it worked to perfection, so he could just let creation go and wander off over there, and he never was involved in his creation. We have a very different view. It's not that God is always sticking his finger in and stirring the pot in some unusual way, but sometimes he does. The flood is not a normal event in the natural world. It is a unique thing that God does. The crossing of the Red Sea, same thing. The healings that Jesus does, obviously when God becomes man, you know, he not only dips his finger into the creation, he dips in his whole self in and is involved. So God rests not from his attention to the creation, but from the act of adding on to the creation that he has made. For those who have just come in, Genesis chapter 2. So God takes the seventh day, he finishes the work that he had done, he rests on the Sabbath. The word Sabbath means, or on the seventh day, the word Sabbath means rest. When God rests, what is that a... We're going to get back to Adam and Eve again, but this is after he's made Adam and Eve. What does this tell Adam and Eve when God rests on the seventh day? And Rose, you've said a little bit of it. What are Adam and Eve, or what are we as human beings to learn from God resting on the seventh day? Okay, we need to rest as well. Right? So if God can stop working and creating, we can certainly stop as well. And if we stop, what's the fear that we have as human beings? If we stop, what?
We won't start.
Kinetic friction is going to make it impossible to get going, right? If I slow down, this is where I stop, right?
Isn't that one of the laws of physics? Object in motion tends to stay.
Yeah, it's true, yeah.
The rest tends to stay at.
Yes, absolutely. The difference between being an adult and being a child, I think, right there. So, it's going to be tough. What else? What is our other temptation?
Once it's done, we might feel like we still need to do something, but God finished it and it was good and he doesn't need to have anything else.
Okay, so we might feel like there's more to be done. Right? Anyone have that feeling? There's more to do? John, ever have that feeling? When the leaves fall, right? Yeah. There's more to be... Yeah, absolutely. And so it is a reminder to us that it is okay, not only okay, but necessary for us at times to stop, to rest. Marla?
I was thinking that we won't feel relevant if we stop.
Okay. We see our worth in terms of the things that we do, and if we stop doing, then it may seem like we don't have that worth, right? So we keep going in order to kind of keep our momentum in terms of our personal worth and value.
In other people's eyes.
Yeah, in other people's eyes. God wants us to see that our worth and value is located in him. Laura?
I think, too, where God wasn't tired, we didn't need to rest. And it's a good example to us that don't wait until you're tired to rest.
Yeah,
right. Implement rest at that point of a break from your usual.
In fact, it's something not only God doesn't tire, so he's not resting because he's tired. That is an example for us. But not only an example, but also he establishes a pattern. And this pattern is unique. If you think about back to Genesis 1 and the creation, God created the light and the darkness, and in the light and darkness, he put the sun, moon, and stars, and he explicitly said these were going to be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. But what do you not mark by the sun, moon, and stars?
Navigation.
What?
Navigation.
They navigate by the stars, but yeah. What time period do we not mark by the sun, moon, and stars?
Days and years. Years.
Years are a revolution around the sun.
Yeah. The beginning.
Well, the beginning. That's more simple than that.
Our life.
Our life, that's true, but every 7 days. The week is not a natural sort of thing. We don't look at the sun, moon, and stars to determine when a new week starts. We can do that for sort of for a month and for a year and for a day, but not for a week. A week is something we have by God's special command. It's also interesting that when you compare creation in Genesis with other creation stories, even if there are some similarities, you do not have examples of someone resting, of the creation being completed with a rest, the way that you have here. So it is a reminder for us that we are to rest not only when we're tired, but according to this set pattern that God has given us, which I tend to think that probably every 7 days will match our tiredness pretty well for the most part. Carl?
I think along rest, there's a couple of other themes that go with that.
Yeah.
For instance, resting your field.
Okay.
You know, the fields, because there's no stop on the fields, and that's not good. You lead and follow. But also the 7 year jubilee.
Yeah.
It's kind of a rest year. You also set your slaves free, or at least it was done in the old Testament, not so much the newer old Testament.
Right.
But so seven, is a really important number.
Yeah, there's a pattern that follows, not only for days, but also then for years and in other ways. And not only rest for ourselves, but rest for others. So you don't go and say, well, today's my day of rest, but all of my servants have to continue. Right? They get a rest as well, as the pattern that God establishes.
We develop a fear that we rest. Others will not, and they'll get ahead of us.
Okay, we may have the fear that if we rest, others will get ahead of us. Or we may have the fear that if we rest, it just simply won't get done. It won't happen. And God is saying by this that there are more important things than the works that we do. More important things than the works that we do. I want to jump to a couple of places as we walk through this seventh day. So if you turn with me to Exodus chapter 20, you'll notice here in Genesis 2 that it says simply God blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. God set the seventh day apart, but we're not told anything more than that. We're actually not told in Genesis what to do with the seventh day, just that God set it apart and he rested from the work that he had done in creation. Exodus 20, we're going to look at verses 8 through 11. Exodus 20, 8 through 11. So we take that Genesis 2 passage, God rested from the work he had done, and we move into Genesis 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The temptation might be from Genesis 2 to say, well, God rested, good for God. But here in Exodus 20, the Lord makes it explicit through Moses that we are to remember the Sabbath day. And when we say remember, we use that word remember in a couple of different ways. We sometimes use the word remember simply as a mental activity. you know, remember some. Remember, 1492 when Columbus sailed the ocean blue. But remember is also often used in an embodied sort of way. So if I said, remember your anniversary, your husband or wife is not going to be satisfied if it's simply a mental activity, right? Honey, did you remember our anniversary?
Yeah.
Oh, sure, I remembered it. It was in my head, right? No flowers, no dinner, no nothing. Right? Remember, in that sense, has a physical embodied component to it. So when God says, remember the Sabbath day, he's not just saying, have a mental activity in which you recognize that there's a seventh day. He's talking about something that we are to do, or actually here, it is something we are to cease from doing. Now notice here, what is the reason given for remembering the Sabbath day? Why are we to labor for 6 days, not for five with a two-day weekend, but labor for 6 days and then take a seventh day of Sabbath? Why are we to do that?
It's holy.
Okay, it's holy. Yep.
Holy doesn't mean set apart.
Holy does mean set apart.
So the Sabbath day is set apart by God.
Right.
To rest.
Yes. Yeah, it's set apart for something different than the other 6 days. And the rationale for this is the creation. For in 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them.
So the Sabbath day is our weekly reminder of creation.
It is a weekly reminder of creation, right? And when we think of it as a weekly reminder of creation, it's not only a weekly reminder that God has created, but that in creating, and we talked about this last week, Adam and Eve had everything they needed. So Adam and Eve could rest, even though God didn't tell them to, because he had provided everything that they needed in the creation. And they were to work 6 days, but in the seventh day to rest, knowing it's not their work that provides for them, but God's work that provides for them. So the fact that we can take a seventh day and rest is a reminder to us that even our own bodily life is not simply dependent on what we do, but on what God does. And we'll see this again in Exodus as we think about that the seventh day. So, Brian, welcome. So, come on in. Hope you enjoyed the fellowship time downstairs. No, you're good. Bunny's over here if you want to.
Oh, thank you. I couldn't sneak in back. Thank you very much.
You couldn't. It was all Steve's fault. He opened the door.
Thank you.
We're in Genesis 2.
Genesis 2. I'm in Genesis 2.
All right. You're there.
Yeah. I think this idea of rest is very important. And, you know, having lived in Germany a couple of times,
yeah.
The culture there is very different. That they were more so 30 years ago when we were there in the 80s, that they really took a rest starting Saturday afternoon through Sunday.
Okay.
When we came back in 18 and 19, Sunday was still pretty sacrosanct as far as a day of rest.
Yeah.
And I'm always appreciative of these local businesses here that actually don't work 7 days, work, you know, 24 hours a day. So when I go to my local the pizza place or whatever and they're closed on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, like, all right, they're giving their employees time off, they're resting. And
yeah.
I think, you know, we need to work, we need to think more about focus rest, focus work, and focus rest, because...
Right. And we can think of this in two ways. One is just the simple need, Laura, you were saying this too, the need for rest from our work, right? To disengage from those things, and to recognize that it's not by my own work that I live and survive, but rather God provides for me. That's one thing. But there's a second thing we need to have in mind, which is when God commands rest, it's not simply a rest from something, but it is a rest for something. It's not simply a rest from something, but it is a rest for something. I say this because I think there's a tendency, and this is true not just among Christians, but more widely in the culture, to think of the weekend, depending on what line of work you're in, as a time for rest. But rest means simply not working, and then I can do whatever I want with the time. Or another way of saying it in New England is that Sunday is a day of rest so that you can
watch the Patriots.
Watch the Patriots. Thank you, Brian. I knew you were good for that. So watch the Patriots, right? That we have this sort of sometimes image of rest as a state of not being engaged in anything or being engaged in the thing I want to be engaged in, so that rest becomes synonymous with the couch and the remote and likely the Patriots game. That is not what God has in mind. Watching the Patriots is fine. Resting on a couch is sometimes needed. I don't know what percentage, but I take naps on, I don't know, maybe at least half the Sunday afternoons, maybe more than that. Less than that. I did last Sunday anyway, so it happened recently. Anyway, rest is fine, but that's not the point of the Sabbath. It's not simply a rest from, but it is a here is time so that you can rest for or toward something. Ray?
Well, it says clearly the seventh day is to the Lord.
It is to the
so
Lord.
So even though we're called on to pray every day, in the beginning, they really needed to remember the Lord. It was the Lord's day that they were to worship Him and call and depend on Him.
Yeah. So the Lord. It's to the Lord. So it's the Lord's day. They are to worship Him and depend on Him. And if we think about worship, this is also important. What is the nature of worship? What is worship about?
We reject God.
Okay. God telling us things and us repeating those back to God. God giving us things and us thanking God. So it's not that God simply says, you know what, you've been working for yourself 6 days, now you got to give me a day to work for me. It's that God says, you've been working for 6 days, and now you need a seventh day for me to serve you. Right? That's what the seventh day is about. That's what our worship is about. It's why the front of our bulletin is listed as the divine service, because this is where God comes to serve us. So that's the, you know, it's not only a rest from, but a rest for or in what God is doing for us in creation, but beyond in redemption as well. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Interestingly, we tend to use it for recreation or recreation.
Yeah.
Interesting.
An interesting term.
Depending on how you say it.
Right.
And it is. You need that rest, the replenishment.
Right.
Which is why we have night and day as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's interesting when you look at studies of health, how important sleep and rest is for the body to rejuvenate itself, which is not a surprise to God. He made us this way. I mean, even Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden had night and day and a seventh day. In Eden, where it's perfect, right? An amazing thing. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy 5, because I want to follow this thread of the Sabbath through a little bit more. Deuteronomy 5, starting at verse 12. Deuteronomy is the book, so Exodus 20, where we just were, is this sort of very beginning of the 40 years wandering in the wilderness. They've left Egypt, they go to Mount Sinai, God gives them the Ten Commandments. Deuteronomy 5 is the other side of that. 40 years later, Moses is about to die. It's his sort of reminding the people of what how God led them and took care of them. And also the generation that rebelled is dead. So this is the second generation that's being taught these things again. Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 through 15. And look for a difference in terms of the rationale for observing the Sabbath, the reason for it. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male servant, or your female servant, or your ox, or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath. What's the reason that God gives here? What are they remembering now when they keep the Sabbath in Deuteronomy 5.
Egypt.
The delivery out of Egypt. Notice there's the command is the same. Exodus 5, Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, remember the Sabbath day, observe the Sabbath day. But the reason is different. In Exodus, it's because in 6 days God created, and in Deuteronomy, it's because the Lord brought you out of Egypt. So we have two things to remember on the Sabbath. The creation, but also the redemption, the salvation that God has given from slavery. And I will say this, Carl, you mentioned in Germany, how nice it is when the society as a whole sort of observes this custom. And it is nice. Unfortunately, it's not the society in which we live, right? There are some places closed on Sundays, but not many. And honestly, I think probably most businesses, depending on what industry they're in, say take a restaurant industry, Sundays they're cash cow. If they close on Sunday, they're going to have a hard time making ends meet Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday,
or Friday. Right. Restaurants.
So Germany's not ahead of us on that. You got to eat. If you're not going to make your food on Sunday, you got to eat somewhere, right? But here's the thing. God is not saying, if this is not a prescription for your society. So God is not saying that you need to make this a law in the state house, although there may be some decent things about that in an alternate universe where that could actually happen. But it's a command to us. So whether the surrounding society and culture is observing the Sabbath day, we are to do so in whatever way that we are able to. We don't need to gripe and moan and complain that, they aren't observing the Sabbath. No, they're not. But it's for us to do what God has given us to do, to receive his gifts.
I remember Jesus saying that the Sabbath was made for man, not man.
It is true. Yeah, that's an interesting comment. And I was going to pull on that thread in just a minute, but we'll grab it now. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, Jesus makes clear this day of rest is meant to serve us, not to enslave us. It is meant to serve us, not to enslave us, which is not an excuse to say, well, I'm free, I'm not going to be enslaved. But it is meant to say, it's not simply a rigid sort of, you better do this in order to serve the Sabbath. The Sabbath is there for our good. Carl?
Yeah, kind of tying along the same lines as, so for us, what does that really mean compared to the far end of, say the Hasidic Jews that, they can't even, push a button,
right,
go up an elevator, their refrigerators, all sorts of crazy rules.
Yeah.
What does that mean for us as Christians that are trying to keep the idea, and maybe it is watching the Patriots, but maybe it's not, I don't know.
Am I going to forbid you to watch the Patriots?
You don't have
to. Do I want to be pastor here still? No, but, good question, yeah. Hasidic, the Orthodox Jews carry this to the extreme of, we may not work on the Sabbath day, so you go to those parts of New York City, and the elevator on Saturday stops at every single floor, so you don't have to do the work of pressing the button, right? I mean, yeah, there's a sort of wow factor to it. Hold on just a second, Marla. So this is not, this is that sort of enslavement, that we have to serve the Sabbath rather than Sabbath is there to serve us. So there are a couple of threads we need to connect here. How do I want to connect them up? So we're going to skip Numbers 15. I'll mention that to you. You can read that at home. There's a Sabbath breaker who is executed for not keeping the Sabbath. Someone who's collecting sticks on the Sabbath is killed. Which may sound sort of, it's Numbers 15 verse 30 or so, may sound strange. What is that stick gatherer doing on the Sabbath day? He is very clearly, it's not like he accidentally went out and started doing lawn work on the Sabbath and said, whoops, what am I doing? This is a person who is intentionally and flagrantly violating God's law. Basically saying to God, I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do on the Sabbath day anyway. He does. So we shouldn't look at it as, well, here's a poor guy who made a little mistake. This is someone who is an unbeliever by virtue of his actions. Steve?
I think, too, that he's a bad example for the people, because a certain amount of sticks might drop overnight or whatever. He's the first one out there.
Right.
With sticks or whatever they use sticks for.
Yeah, I mean, sure. When someone does something they shouldn't, it becomes an invitation for others to do the same.
Yeah, other people say, look, he's got all the good sticks.
Right.
And he did it on Sabbath. Why don't we?
Yeah. I mean, the scriptures are clear in that sense that you know, this is one of the reasons sin needs to be dealt with, lest it becomes a sort of infection that spreads to others as well. So turn to Matthew chapter 5. Cheryl, you had a hand.
I did.
You got two, in fact. I'll grab you, and then while we're turning to Matthew 5.
So the Sabbath also helps us to trust the Lord.
Yes.
He provides all of our needs. We, especially in this society, kind of forget that. We think, oh, I'm in charge of my own destiny and all this other
right.
stuff.
Right.
And so when we look back and we see how he provided for his people so that they didn't work on the Sabbath,
yep.
there was extra manna,
yeah.
right? All these different things for us to remember that all that we do, even the days that we work, it's still we need to be grounded in trust.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, just when we think about today, for us here, now often our minds are headed where? We're headed forward to the next week, to the anxieties and the duties and the responsibilities coming up. But if we pause today and look back to September 24th, we can look back across a week in which the Lord provided for us. And I don't mean that everything during the week went perfectly, smoothly, or exactly the way we wanted, but you had food, you had clothing, you had shelter over the last week, no? Yeah, the Lord provided, right? So there's that matter of trust, as Cheryl mentioned. There are two things I want to get to in Matthew briefly before we stop. So Matthew 5, verse 17 is the first one. So the Sabbath falls under what we call the law. Remember, the Sabbath day is a command from God, right? So it falls under the law. We number it as the third commandment. Jesus makes this comment in Matthew 5, verse 17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Think of that with respect to the third commandment. Do not think that I have come to abolish the Sabbath day. I have not come to abolish the Sabbath day, but to fulfill it, or to fill it up. This dovetails with one of my favorite passages in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 11, when Jesus says, and you probably know the words as well, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you Sabbath." And this gets to the question of why do we take our Sabbath on not the seventh day, but the first day of the week, on Sunday instead of on Saturday? Because we see the Sabbath is not about the day. The Sabbath is about the one who fulfilled it, the person of Jesus Christ. So for us, it's not about resting. It's not so much about resting in a day, although a day is part of the pattern God established, but it's resting in a particular person and his work, that is the person of Jesus Christ and what he has done. And I want to pull together a few threads here. I guess a couple last threads on this. One is, how does our Lord fulfill the Sabbath? What does he do on the seventh day?
He descended into hell.
Okay, he descended into hell. We don't know exactly how that fits with the days, but yeah. On the seventh day, before he does that, we could say he...
He kills us.
Well, that's what he does now. What did he...
He rested.
Not on the seventh day, he didn't kill us. He rested on the seventh day. Where did he rest?
In the tomb.
Yeah, Friday, the sixth day, the day when man was made, he is crucified. Man is unmade. On the seventh day, the day of rest, he rests in the tomb from all the work that he had done in redeeming us. And then on the first day of a new week, he rises from the dead. Why do we worship on Sunday? Because we see the Sabbath connected to the person and work of Christ. And because we see not only, it's not only a day now for us of the old creation, it is that and trusting God, not only a day of the sort of redemption from sin, but this is now the day of the beginning of the new creation. All these things are coming together for us as we gather in worship. So here's the thing we need to think of and consider. With these things in mind, how then is it best for us to remember the Sabbath day? And I say that not as a matter of law. So it's not that God gave a rigid list. Here are the 17 requirements of remembering the Sabbath day. No pushing elevator buttons. So we need an automatic on our elevator on Sundays. No, just kidding. It's not 17 things. How is it best for us, or what are good ways for us to remember the Sabbath day? Steve?
A new beginning.
Okay, it is a new beginning, but how do we do that? How do we mark that new beginning?
Maybe being here. Okay.
Being here. Why here?
Well, here's where he serves us. God's feast.
Okay, God's serving us, right? The divine service. God's serving us, and we can be explicit in the things that he serves us with. The holy absolution. Forgiving our sins. His holy word, which provides, not only points us to Christ, but also provides instruction and guidance for us on how to live. His holy communion, the body and blood of Jesus. You know, now, it may not seem restful. I mean, maybe some of us fall asleep in the pews, but, you know, it may not be restful. Church is actually meant to be a place where we're engaged, and I think one of the Lutheran Reformation changes was to have a service that is more engaged for the people with all the singing and participation that takes place. So it's not a place where you rest in that sort of sense. You might leave church exhausted from singing seven hymns and the liturgy and all of this, but it's the rest that we have in Christ and his gifts. Marla, you've been
mentioned.
Our soul gets rest. And we are, you might say, we are reordered. From our crazy lives and crazy weeks, things are set in their proper place. Us, with respect to God, our daily life and work with respect to God and his work, our sins with respect to God's salvation. And so our lives are ordered then around the rest that we have in God and in his word. I've said it before, and I'll say it here again. This is one of the reasons why I want you to know that when I am not here on a Sunday, aside from maybe when I'm sick, if I'm traveling or on vacation, I am in church. Because it's not a rest. There's no such thing as a rest from, let me rest from the Sabbath. I've had too many Sabbaths, you know. Every seventh Sabbath I need off, so I'm going to just stay home. No, we don't need rest from the Sabbath. We need to rest in Christ on the Sabbath day. So this is the one commandment that does change a little bit from the Old Testament to the New Testament, from Saturday now to the first day of the week, Sunday, recognizing its fulfillment in Christ. There's a little change there, but the essence of it remains the same, that we are to, on the Sabbath day, hear preaching in God's word, gladly, let's see, we should not despise preaching in God's word, but we are to gladly hear and learn it. So the last thought that I have for you is that I think it's important for us, and obviously I'm preaching in this moment to the choir of sorts, right? You guys are the ones who are here, so I'm not going to complain to you about people not observing the Sabbath day, not hearing God's word, because you are. But it is worth thinking about how we make sure this remains the center of our Sundays. How do we have this not be an add-on to our life? Well, yes, we go to church, but the family potluck is the most important thing. But we recognize this as center, that our life is focused around Christ and his gifts on Sunday. Mark, I won't call you out for coming in. Well.
Yeah, you better.
Better late than never.
Talk to Brian afterwards. You got to work this out. I want us to be thinking about, and here's the take home. Spend some time thinking about how can I as an individual, or we as a couple, or as a family, recognize the Sabbath for what it is. God's gift to us for rest, for hearing his word, for cultivating in us trust in him and his provision, and for recognizing his redemption and salvation for us. There may be things that are part of our Sundays that, contribute to that or don't contribute to that. They may not be bad things, but it's worth kind of running through that sieve, everything we do on Sunday, to say, how can we rightly honor the Sabbath? I'm not going to give you a list. I'm not going to give you a don't press the elevator button sort of thing. But you can take your own life and run it through that and say, what are we doing well in how we remember the Sabbath day? What might we do differently or better? So with that, I know we're over time. We'll grab any questions you've got on the Sabbath day, shoot to me by an email, and we'll pick them up next week as we move forward. But we're going to dive further into Genesis chapter 2 with the detailed creation of man and woman. So let's close with prayer, and then we will remember the Sabbath day as we head home. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the rest that you give to us in Jesus Christ every 7 days. The grace and mercy that continue to be poured out upon us, as well as the reminder of your provision for us each and every day. The food, the clothing, the shelter that we so often take for granted. Guide us now, we pray, that we may honor the Sabbath day, that it may be set apart in our lives as holy, not as something that we are to serve, but rather as a means and way by which you serve us and reorder our lives around you as our God. We pray this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Go in peace.